the message today, and I just want to express my thanks to Wayne and to Kevin. A lot going on, and knowing that such capable men are here is a real ease of my burden, and I'm blessed when you guys come up. So, Wayne, it's all yours, brother.
Good morning. Please pray with me. Precious Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word this morning, Lord. Obviously, you have something to say to the people here through me, Lord, and I can only hope that I say what you once said. And Lord, be with Pastor Jeff as he writes his paper, Lord, that you would give him wisdom, you would give him comfort, and his hand would be your hand, Lord, and your hand would be heavy upon him. Bless him as he progresses through his theological journey, Lord. Put your hand upon him, Lord. You've called him. Now we ask that you would equip him to do your work, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Jesus gave us a kind of a preview of what would happen in our lives in the Old Testament. There's the old saying that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is a rich man to go to heaven. Well, that's kind of like us. It's easier to get a camel through the eye of the needle than to get us to heaven. Now, that makes absolutely no sense. I'm sure you're sitting there going, what's this guy talking about? Once the gates in Jerusalem closed for the evening, the only way that you were getting into the city was through a very small opening called the Eye of the Needle. The only way to get a camel through the Eye of the Needle was to take everything off the camel. That's what God does with us. All the junk that is on us can't go into heaven with us. So what does he have to do? He has to take all that stuff off of us. And believe me, it's like trying to take the wrapper off a hot dog. It's tough. It is tough. When God teaches us lessons, we're kicking and screaming. We don't want to go through this. We're in a comfort zone. We got this all figured out, God. Or so we think we do. Until a situation comes up that we can't handle. Anyway, God teaches us lessons. This is the point I'm trying to make. And some of them are not easy. Some of them we don't want. Some of them we never wanted. But as we look back, we see why he did what he did. This morning's teaching is on love. Something I know, you can ask my wife, I know very little about. But you know what? I preached on patience a couple months ago, and that's something I knew even less about. So as God tries to knock all the things off me, I think he's saying to me, you know what? Everybody else is in the same boat you're in. They got just as many issues as you do. And we got to get rid of some of these things. We have to make some of these things better. But there are over 40 words in the Koine Greek that are love. There's all different kinds of love. There's agape love. There's all this and that. You know, the different words for love in Greek and in Hebrew also. And there's all different kinds of love. I mean, Jeff loves pizza. I mean, that's it. That's just the way it is. Wayne loves donuts. You know, but I don't love them romantically. I'm sure Jeff, you know, Jeff would take a pizza out on a date, I'm sure, but only one of us would come home. But what I'm trying to say is, love is a word that, as it's translated in the Bible, can mean a lot of different things. You know, and say we love our cars. Okay, I love my pickup truck because it serves me. Okay, but as far as to go out and give it a big old wet smooch, that ain't happening. But the point I'm trying to make here is, when they translate the word love, we have to stop and think there's 40 different applications to that word. The disciples asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the God with all your heart. Okay, that's not a romantic love. That's a respective love. But he says, love your neighbor. Well, if you got a pretty neighbor, that's an easy one. But if your neighbor is not that pretty or not that nice, then that's a little tougher. But those are the greatest commandments. And the disciples said to Jesus before he left this earth, tell us the secrets because you're leaving. They knew he was leaving. Give us some insight because once you're gone, we're going to need something to hold on to. And he said, that is the greatest of the two commandments. In 1 John, I'd like to do the reading. It says, brethren, I write a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write to you, which this thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That's a tough verse. It really is. You read that and you think, what's he trying to say? What's John trying to say here? And the other, in 1 John, it also says, God is light, in him there is no darkness. If we have fellowship with him, we walk not in darkness, but we walk in the light and practice truth. Loving your enemies is the hardest thing you'll ever do. This is tough. This is a very tough teaching. I've had a few, where I work, it's a pretty crass and, how can I say, opinionative shop, where everybody thinks they're right. Some of the older mechanics have done it the old way forever, so we're right. But some of the young men come in and they say, oh no, that's the wrong way. We do it our way. Well, if there's not really anything done in writing, then whose way is right? So there becomes a dissension between the older gentleman and the younger gentleman. And sometimes things are said not very nicely. Matter of fact, things get a little heated. Things get a little profane. Okay. So you're getting my point here. I'm sure that there can be some enemies made. And we do this in life. You go right down this hill. Before you get to the bridge, you'll make an enemy. Guarantee. You think, wait a minute, that's a quarter mile road. As soon as that person cuts in front of you, it's an enemy. How could we do this? all over 15 foot of road. If this person is in my way, impeding where I want to go, then they're my enemy. If this person has something that I should have, then they're my enemy. But the Lord says, love your enemies. That makes no sense. And everyone says, well, Jesus was nailed to a cross and he forgave everybody. Well, some people would say, well, that makes him a better sport than me because I'm not that good of a sport. Jesus forgave the Romans who drove the nails into him. Think about that. If ever you had an enemy, that would be him. These are the people who oppressed his parents, his grandparents, all the Jewish people. If anybody had reason to hate someone, it was Jesus to hate the Romans. But he forgave them. True love is knowing and accepting someone's faults and still loving them. If you love someone, you accept their shortcomings. You accept their faults. Kathy, I'm sure, accepts a lot of mine. And I do hers. And you know what? When you get on that hill and that person in front of you cuts you off, then that's God's call to you to accept the fact that that person's either in a hurry, insensitive to you, or just doesn't care. They're self-centered. That is their problem, their shortcoming. Okay? So the best thing you can do with a person like that, you have a choice when that happens. You can walk in the light or walk in the dark. Well, when you call that person that nasty name or you give that person that little hand gesture, you're walking in the dark. And I know this is tough. And am I good at it? I'm a professional at it. I'm no better than anybody else sitting here. But God has told me, walk in the light, not in the darkness. If someone wrongs you, and this is biblical, if someone wrongs you, do not seek revenge. The Lord takes care of that. And that is a very, very hard lesson for us to learn. If someone does something to you, you got to do something back. Wait a minute. I got this handled, Lord. I can do this revenge thing. And Jesus says, no, you can't do this revenge thing. Because when you do the revenge thing, you do his job. His job is to seek revenge for you, to take care of you, to watch over you. Your job is to walk in the light. If someone sees you, any person sees you taking revenge for an act, what kind of a Christian witness is that? You know, as Christians, and especially as pastors, we're held to a higher standard. People will look at us and say, you know what? Those people are nuts. Jesus said, if someone takes your tunic, give them the cloak also. That makes absolutely no sense in the world's eyes. But to the Christians, we know that one of two things is going to happen. Either Jesus is going to give us another cloak, or he's going to make it warm enough that we won't be cold that night. We see beyond this world. I've seen people on TV where they see someone get shot and they forgive the person who shot them. That's craziness. The first thing you should be doing is retaliating. But some people believe that they have sent that person home to be with the Lord. They see it differently. We see it differently. We should never sacrifice walking in the light for any retaliation. Sure, if someone comes to me at work and disrespects me, it'd be great to just go off and give them 15 minutes of my wisdom, my way. But you know what? I'd be walking in darkness when I did it. And God tells me, just shut up. Keep a good Christian witness. Now, if someone disrespects me, I'm not going to take a long walk on the beach with them. I'm not going to share a pizza with them. But I'm not going to be disrespectful to them. And you know what? One of the best examples I ever seen was Pastor Frank Rocco when they burned his church up in Elizabeth. He stood in the basement of a burned-on church. And you know what? If they would have brought the gentleman forward to him who lit the match that burned that church, and that gentleman would have said to Pastor Frank, "Pray for me, I have a disease." You know what? He would have. And that's craziness to the world. But to us, it's compassion. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about, Mary was talking about making a deal with God about smoking. If you do this, I'll do that. Well, we do that all the time. It's called a business dealing with God. You go to the store, you hand the man money, he hands you a product. That's business. You go there expecting to get something for what you're giving. That's business. But when you do something without expecting a blessing, that's when you get them. God will not answer a prayer for a person who walks in darkness. He's not there. God is light. It says right in the scripture here, God is light. And I'm not saying if we walk in darkness, God won't answer our prayer. If it's the sinner's prayer, of course he answers the prayer. But how many of us whose children disrespect us and come to us and say, "I want, I want, I want." Well, are you going to be inclined to give it to them? No, you're not. God's no fool. He didn't create the heavens and the earth to be tricked or outthought by us. No, it just don't work that way. We have to remember the world passes away every day. The things of this world are temporary. The things that we do are eternal. If your witness would help someone along their Christian walk, wouldn't it be better for that than anything material we have? You know, a couple weeks ago, I went into my deer stand, and I got up in it, and I see someone had shot a deer out of it. There was a little evidence laying there, and I'm not going to go into detail, but I knew that a person had unmistakably shot a deer out of my deer stand. Now, wait a minute. I put that stand up. I took the time. I was sitting there the day before, and I never shot a deer out of it. So you can't shoot a deer out of my stand. That's my thinking. And I thought, man, if I could just get a hold of this person who had the nerve to come up here and sit in my stand and shoot my deer, And then God had a little conversation with me. And he said, aren't you happy that someone shot a deer? And someone now enjoys it? If you really love God, you'll love his people. That's why the commandments were tied together. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. When you love your neighbor, you love God. You know, a lot of times when I was in the military, I did a lot of things. I said a lot of things from gave a lot of orders as a petty officer in the Navy that I really didn't agree with. But the uniform I wore said, you do what I say. The people above me said, you do what I say. That's what you're getting paid for. And it's the same thing with God. God says, if you love my people, you love me. Like I said, you don't have to be taking long walks on the beach with these people, but on the same token, you got to pray for them. And I think really that's where we get this love thy neighbor from, is the fact that, yes, I've been wronged, but you know what? I love God enough to love you. So the next time that we're in a situation where we think, I got this, God, got it all figured out, I'll take care of this. No, it's not worth it. Let God handle the situation his way. Bless the other person with compassion, and then you'll receive a blessing from God in return. Pray with me. Precious Lord, some lessons are just out of this world to us, because we don't understand them, Lord. We don't think the way you think, Lord. We didn't take the time to create every individual. Father, you look at us all as your children. But you asked us, some of us, to be children of light, to show others the light, no matter how they treat us, Lord. Lord, we shouldn't be doormats for the world. We should be lights for the world. We should conduct ourselves in Christian and dignified manners, Lord. Help us to do this, Lord. Help us to have patience. Help us to love the brethren as you have loved them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sure. Thanks, Wayne. Nice job, buddy. You know, in every interaction we come through, we always have a choice, we who love the Lord. We could show them us, or we can show them Jesus Christ with what we do and say. Time and experience teaches you which one of those things is better. May he teach you quickly. Hymn number 694, Come Ye Thankful People.